It's time for another edition of the Pumpkin Pile Drivers Podcast. With some jackass by the name of Big Bad Boris.
Welcome to a new edition of the Pumpkin Pile Drivers Podcast. My name is Big Bad Boris, and we have a double your pleasure, a double your fun, a two for one, if you will. Not one special guest, but two special guests, both members in good standing of Seven. Mars the Specialist, Jack Pride. We'll start with you, Mars. How the hell are you?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Jack Pride, what's going on?
Oh, you know, just sitting around. The fuzziest member of Seven recently had to get neutered. Yeah, TJ. No, not that member. Sloth. He's laying on the couch right now. But yeah, he got neutered, so he's got a cone of shame on, and I've got to monitor the poor guy.
Please tell me Sloth is like a pet and not your brother.
Yeah, Sloth is my 16-pound cat.
Jesus.
Yeah, he's not even a year old and he's already 16 pounds. I am so excited. I hope he cracks 20 pounds.
He will not procreate.
No, there's only one of him.
No kittens.
Fair enough. All right, so it's a lazy Saturday, and I thought, what the hell, let's have some fun, and let's do a podcast. I don't really have a lot planned to talk about. I thought we'd just kind of bullshit around, but I want to ask Mars something first and foremost. Recently, I saw on social media that you ate what I believe was a junior chicken in one bite. Can you tell me a little bit more about this experience and how it came to be?
So we had just finished in PBW
Saskatchewan. This is hard-hitting journalism, all right? Straight up.
We had just finished in PBW Saskatchewan, and as per the ritual, we all hit up McDonald's. And I can put away food. I'm a big eater. So I ordered a few junior chickens and whatever. And on my last junior chicken, I was like, I made a joke. I don't know if it was Reed or if it was Jack, but I made a joke. I was like, I bet I can eat this in one bite. Like, no, you can't. And I was like, oh, I bet I can. So then Jack pulls out his phone. I'm like, all right, I'm doing this. And I just downed it in one bite.
Now, this was your last junior chicken. How many junior chickens was there?
I believe my order that night was three junior chickens, a large fry, a chocolate milkshake, and a McFlurry.
What kind of McFlurry?
A Smarty.
There you go. That's the go-to.
What do you mean that's the Smarty? Smarty's not bad, but it's not the go-to.
What's the go-to?
The go-to is Oreo. Like, come on.
You know, Oreo's pretty good.
Okay, that's fair. Now, you mentioned that that's like the ritual after the Saskatchewan shows, and that's something that I, like when you bring that up and I think about it, that's something that I really, really miss about PWA is those Calgary shows, because we would always do the same ritual every time. We'd stop at the same gas stations on the way up. We'd stop at the same place in Red Deer on the way up. We'd all go to BP's after on the way down. And I really, really miss, you know, those Calgary trips with the boys, you know?
Oh, yeah. Like, that is honestly one of the best parts about wrestling is the trips, because you get the stories and you get the rituals. Y'all go down, go to eat after the show. You're all celebrating the show. Like, it's
hopefully
that's where the camaraderie in wrestling comes out, right?
So I want to talk about PPW. I've heard that there are really, really good crowds and really, really fun shows. I've been trying to make it down and just kind of tag along for one, but the stars don't seem to align for space in the car or me just being wiped out after a hard week at work. But do you guys work there regularly? Tell me a bit more about those shows, because I hear they're really a lot of fun.
I guess I'll start. So I think I went there before Jack had, at least in this like last little round of things. And like literally the craziest crowd, like it's Saskatchewan, you get a bunch of drunk people, like I don't know if that's like their downtown or whatever, get a bunch of drunk people in like one room. I think it's like 300 people they can fit in there. It's just a rowdy time. They are a very creative crowd. I've had some not so fun chants thrown at me back when I was working Sean, because they love Sean there. Sean Moore, I should say. And then in more recent times, the Short Kings, everyone loves the Short Kings. So they've taken a liking to me now. But yeah, crazy crowd. Just a fun time overall, I'd say.
Jack, any thoughts on the PPW shows?
Oh, honestly, outside of the Love crowd, the PPW in Saskatchewan crowd is easily my favorite. I was going there pre-COVID and since post-COVID, and they've, like, the whole time I've been going there, they come to cheer. They're not one of those crowds that comes and they're not sure how it works. They might sit on their hands and towards later in the show, they start to pick it up. PPW, they are there from the second the music starts till the last beat at the end of the night, and they don't lose steam. Like, you would have to be objectively horrendous at wrestling to not have these people either on your side or hating you. They are just there to have a good time, and it makes wrestling in front of them that much more fun.
So what you're saying is this is a place that Big Bad Boris should be.
Yes, you would love it there.
So maybe next time you're there, you should talk about how this is a place where Big Bad Boris should be.
Well, I thought you were taking the ride out there with us this last time. I was sad when you weren't.
I was supposed to. That was the plan. But I had like the week from hell at work and I was just bagged. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to stay here and catch up on some sleep and just chill out. And like some personal stuff going on as well. But that was originally the plan. But I really, really want to make it out there because I've heard nothing but great things about the shows and the crowd. What kind of numbers are they pulling in?
I think Mars is right, somewhere around 300. Like, literally, whatever capacity is in that building is what it is every single time. And, yeah, I think it's about 300. And it's the one great thing about that place is it's almost like it's built for wrestling with just the way where the ring sits, where the rails are. There's no bad seats, but the venue has really good acoustics. So 300 sounds like 600. It's just, it's, can't say enough good things.
It's insanity, to be honest. And they're like, they're creative. They have a good chance there.
Yeah.
That leads me to a trivia question I'll ask you in a minute, but continue.
Oh, I was going to say, I remember working a show there against Zoe pre-COVID, and we were opening match, and basically the first real bump of the shine was just me hitting her with a shoulder tackle and leading up to, I think, her hitting me with one. And the second I hit that first one, it was just like deafening boos. Like, they will get up for like, yeah, you just need to give them something to cheer for and they're there. It's so good.
Now you say creative chance. Give me an example of creative chance, or is this things you can't say in on the internet?
How PG is your show?
There is no G. We are rated whatever you want to say. This is a safe space for you to express yourself.
So, me and Sean Moore wrestling, and the chant that I received that night was "Little Dick."
Okay.
And that kept me for a few shows, and it worked somewhat because I'm a short king, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I was able to sear into that for a little bit. I was able to sear into that, but now they love Mean Reed. Now they love short kings.
Mars, you have to explain why specifically about you they were making that chant.
Well, don't steal my job. My job's to ask the questions. That was exactly what I was going to say. So tell me, why were they calling you a little dick?
Well, I don't know if Jack knows something I don't, but the only reason I thought that happened was because I was walking around, I was doing my thing, I was talking some shit, and then some girls were like chirping at me. I don't remember what I said. I said something back to them, and she goes, "I bet you have a little dick, don't you?" And then she got the whole crowd to start chanting at me. I'm like, oh my God, what the hell?
Well, see, what I was getting at was, weren't you wearing the dicklet
night? No, I was not. I had already been retired to that point.
Okay, hang on. Flag on the play, whistle, 5-yard penalty. What exactly, dare I ask? This is exactly what I wanted this podcast to be, so thank you. What is the dicklet?
So if you remember, I wore only a few times at Love. I had this red singlet and it was very, very thin.
I vaguely remember that is the dicklet. How did it
that,
get that,
is what we, that is what Reed Matthews, the thickness himself, has dubbed the dicklet.
Yeah, there is you. Once you really take just a quick glance at Mars and that thing, you really know all there is to know about Mars the Specialist.
Jesus Christ.
We know his religion. Oh boy. So has there ever been anything said to you during a fan during a match by a fan or a chant that you guys thought was kind of over the line, or is it all kind of fair in love and war?
I don't think for me. I've gotten like Cabbage Patch and stuff like that, obviously, but like nothing like too egregious.
Like at Love, never, but there have been shows that I've been on because wrestling as Jack Pride, with going into some of the smaller rural areas in Alberta, there's a different sort of person that sometimes lives out there, and pride isn't necessarily one of their favorite things. And so I've gotten a lot of homophobic and transphobic slurs because as Jack Pride, I use they, them, we pronouns and all that. So they take it as like a gender fluidity thing. And so, yeah, I've gotten transphobic shit and homophobic shit almost the whole duration of being the second I've turned into a bad guy, especially the very first time I went heel. That was really when it kicked up big time for me.
See, it's funny that you mentioned that because I've been dating my girlfriend for just about 3 years now, and she's been kind of immersed in this, in the world of wrestling. Like the first little bit we were together, I didn't really bring it up. Just I eased her into it before she realized that it was like the all-encompassing force of my life. But the first couple of times that she saw you wrestle, she asked me if it was like an LGBTQ gimmick, because exactly that, like it's Jack Pride and it's a they them pronoun thing. Plus, at the time and still now, you wear a lot of purple, and it never occurred to me until she mentioned it. And sometimes it's interesting to get an outsider fan perspective, because sometimes we're kind of too close to it to understand things. And I was like, I never thought of that, but that's an interesting take. Did you get that a lot?
So the first time you brought that up to me actually, was the first time I had heard it
really,
from like a positive standpoint. Cause like I said, I'd gotten
all positive,
transphobic
all good.
Slurs,
yeah.
But that was the first time someone in any way, shape or form had approached me to be like, is this an LGBT, like gender fluidity type thing? And I'd never really considered it from that angle, but if people take it that way, like, I'm not, that certainly doesn't upset me at all, but quite honestly, for my purposing of the character, the we, they, them, is literally because I watched the animated Spider-Man growing up, and Venom was always we are Venom, and okay. I was like, oh, but that's perfect, because he's the symbiote, and he's Eddie Brock, but they share the same body, but it's not the same mind, so I was like, well, I'll just do that. And so for me, that's where it was born. But if people, like I said, if they do take it as some sort of gender fluid thing, like, okay, cool. Like, that's not, like, it doesn't hurt my feelings to hear that. So.
Yeah, because when you first came into PWA and we sat down and you explained the character to me, I was like, okay, I totally understand this. And it never occurred to my mind until Melissa, like, mentioned that to me. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess that kind of does make sense.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like I said, never popped in my mind really that way. Just thought people were sending, you know, terrible slurs my way for the most part.
So, Mars, you got a big ladder match coming up in couple of weeks on the Thursday night LPW Clandestine Wrestling Society. Is it prequel or prelude?
I believe it's prelude.
Is it prelude? Because I can't remember, and I just say a word that starts with P and hope for the best. What's your mindset going into, because I am not a professional wrestler. I've had a few matches and I made Reed Matthews bump for me and I beat Andy Anderson and I got to toot my own horn. Do you ever?
Oh, wait. Speaking of that wrestling career, as far as Saddle Dome Rumble matches go, how's that gone in your career for us?
Saddle Dome Rumble? I always forget that you're the a-hole. Well, you see, it's my own fault. Because you see, I made the cardinal mistake of taking my eye off the prize and celebrating with the fans, which is what every heel will tell you. Don't pay attention to the fans. I took Reed Matthews off his feet, Big Bad Boris, and I went and I celebrated with my people. And then you, the opportunist, came over and incredibly gently dumped me over the top rope, which I... it sounds silly, but just that is a memory that I will keep for so many reasons for the rest of my life. It was so cool. that I got to do that. You bastard. Yeah. I thought I was good. Was that for the Mayhem title?
I think that was for the Mayhem title.
Man, I thought I was going to be.
Yeah, it was. It was.
I thought I was going to be champ.
You ruined it, Jack.
Yeah, sorry to have dashed your dreams, Boris.
Who won that thing anyway? I don't remember.
Didn't Reed Matthews still win that? Yeah.
Oh. He's undefeated at dome shows.
Man.
Yeah, okay. that match was the one of the first interactions with Jack Pryde and Reed Matthews, and that was starting the trajectory to one of the greatest matches that never happened in my career.
And now look, you're in a tag team with him.
Yeah.
Tell me more about the greatest match that never happened in your career.
Oh, well, that was so PWA. I had just come in, did the match with Michael, did the match with Michael Allen, Richard Clark.
And I was like, I don't know this guy, but he's good. I think I came one to a CWC show once because I think MRB was working one in Red Deer.
Yeah.
And he was like, do you want to come hang out? And I was like, okay. And I came and hung out and it was cool and all. And I was impressed by the nice entranceway. And I'm like, they have barricades and they have ring steps. And I was like, shit, we don't have barricades and ring steps. But anyway, I assume that you worked that show. I don't remember. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. But when you came into PWA the first couple of matches, I was like, shit. He's a good dude and he's good in the ring. Welcome. Anyway, yeah, continue.
That was that was a big feather in my cap at the time. I was like, oh, good. I've finally taken a step in the right direction with this. But the greatest match never happened. Had those couple of matches to set my pace and then got into a program with Jack's best friend, Thickness Reed Matthews, which was boiling towards the Nate show,
mm-hmm.
where it was going to be a multi-man ladder match for the Mayhem Championship. And Reed Matthews' best friend, Jack, was going to turn on him. And it was going to really kick off the program with Jack Pryde and Reed Matthews. And that has still never come to fruition. We may have been in the ring for tag matches and like a scramble, but I've still yet to have a legitimate singles match with Reed.
Yeah, there was a lot of interesting stuff that was supposed to happen on that Nate show, but unfortunately, it was. Did you ever get a chance to wrestle at Nate then or no?
Nope, that would have been my first one. That was like a big, that was going to be in my mind with that angle and with that being the Nate show, that was going to be just like a pinnacle moment for me. And then COVID happened.
Yeah, see, it sounds silly. I took for granted because I did, you know, well, that used to be our home for a few years. Every show was an Nate show, and then just the big ones were. So I kind of took for granted. We're going to jump into some music here for those of you new to the Punk and Potter's podcast. And why would you be? this is a music and wrestling podcast because those are my two loves. I have my guests pick songs to play and we discuss them. We're going to start with you, Mars, just because you were the first person to log on. Ha 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 ha. And you picked a song called Not Strong Enough by Apocalyptica. And I want to ask you a question because I pulled the songs off YouTube and there were two different versions of this song with two different singers.
Oh, interesting.
One by the name of Doug Robb, who this is the one I picked because I liked his voice better. I don't want to say that it's the guy from Hoobastank, but it sure looks like the guy from Hoobastank. The other dude looks like long-haired and white and douchey, and I didn't like his voice, so I picked this version, so I hope it's okay. But tell me a bit about this song and why you picked it.
Honestly, this is kind of like a time capsule choice. This has like been a recent addiction of mine. Lady I've been seeing recently was listening to my music one day, and she's like, you know what, I think I know a band that you might like. And she like showed me this song and I've been addicted to it ever since. And like this is like a recent one. And a lot of my loves for songs, they come from like, obviously if I like the song, like, but also I look at it cause I'm a psychopath. I look at it in like a wrestling sense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, does this work for like a promo package? Does this work for like a highlight video? Does it work for like whatever? And like, I listen like lyrics because of that. I'm like, oh, this is a good story for this and this and this. So like this has become a song where I just like I like the song, but also I like the what I could use the song for sort of thing.
Yeah, the mind is all like the wrestling mind never stops. Anytime I go anywhere, I'm like, where could I like any building in the world? I'm like, where could we put the ring in this building and stuff like that?
Literally, I call myself a psychopath because of that. Cause like
I do the same thing.
Everything's
I also,
wrestling related now.
I also hate when people say I have a band you might like, because 98% of the time it's like, no, I don't like this. If I listen to it, it'll be like, no, I hate this, but I'm too nice to say it. But nonetheless, we're going to throw a Mars's pick. This is Apocalyptica on the Punk and Podivers podcast.
I'm not strong enough to stay away. I can't run from you. I just run back to you like a moth. I'm drawn into your flame. You say my name, but it's not the same. You look in my eyes. I'm stripped of my pride, and my soul surrenders. And you bring my heart to its knees. And it's killing me when you're away. That I wanna leave. And I'm so confused, so hard to choose between the pleasure and the pain. And I know it's wrong, and I know it's right. Even if I tried to win the fight, my heart would overrule my mind. And I'm not strong enough to stay away.
Apocalyptica, that is the first track, or the only track, from Mars the Specialist, his pick for this week's episode of the Punk and Potters podcast. We're talking to Mars the Specialist and Jack Pride. I was digging through some PWA hard drives today because I was looking for a match, because Gamma Singh Jr. is like, hey, I need you to send me this match. And I came across a graphic for, let me look at it here. I don't remember. I think it was for Fright Night. I'm not sure. But it's a graphic. Michael Allen, Richard Clark against me dressed as Boris Owens. And I have no like context of where this graphic came from, why it was made, or I assume it was just some kind of joke. But like, it's a super nice graphic of me dressed as me when I was Boris Owens for Fright Night 1 year, years ago. And I wore Richie Rage's boots, and I made a BO t-shirt out of duct tape. And I actually bought Kevin Owens shorts from WWE shop. This was like got to be 10 years ago at least. And well, we took a couple tremendous pictures because it was funny. And I like, was I supposed to wrestle my Cloud Richard? Because I would like to think if I was supposed to do that I would remember. Oh. But yeah. The only thing that really sticks out is the beautiful long. Do you remember the beautiful long flowing locks of Michael Allen, Richard Clark, or is this before you guys?
I've seen the photos and videos, but that was before my time with him even.
I've seen photos too. It is a complete 180 of who he is today. It's hilarious.
He was the original not Crimson, but Crimson Line with those beautiful flowing locks. Now, Mars, do you remember the first time you and I crossed paths? I don't know if we talked about this on the podcast, but I want to tell you a story if you don't remember. Do you remember?
I didn't think. I would have to guess it was the PWA Battle of the Dome 2 show, but false. I might be wrong.
That is false.
Oh, really?
I started dating my girlfriend in whatever year that was, and I eased her into the wrestling thing. PWA had stopped running, and Michael Richard Blaze was working an RCW show in some town. I don't remember what town it was, but I was like, I'm going to take you to your first live wrestling show. I apologize. So we went to the show to watch it. And I think Sheik Akbar Shabazz was on the show and a couple other people. Sorry, I'm drinking water. And you were wrestling on that show. And I was super impressed. And I sent MRB. I'm like, who's this Marzo specialist guy? He's pretty good. He's like, yeah, he's super green and young and he's good. He's going to be good. And after the show was over, I wanted to go back and say hi to MRB. And on a side note, I asked Steven Styles before I went back, because I don't believe that you should go back in anyone's fucking locker room without permission from the promoter. That's just me being old school or whatever. But I said, Steven, is it okay if I go back and say hi to MRB? He's like, absolutely, go ahead. And I made a point of going up to you and introducing myself and shaking your hand and saying, hey, I'm Boris. Nice to meet you. I think that was really good, blah, blah, blah. And then I went and talked to MRB and then I left. I don't know if you remember that, but I made a point of going to introduce myself because I was like, I like this kid. He's good.
Oh, man, I feel bad.
See, Mars forgets because he's, even back then, he was such a big league that he just didn't have time for anyone.
No. Do you call a town?
I remember there was a lot of big, big round tables. There was a stage where, like, the locker room was kind of up on a stage.
Oh, Radway?
Radway is exactly where it was. Yes, that is where it was. Yes, yes, yes.
Was that the night I wrestled Michael in, like, a fail four with Irish and Steven?
That I don't remember shit. I have the worst memory of even stuff that I did, so I'm not going to remember what you did.
That's valid.
But yeah, I remember being really impressed, and he put in a good word for you and said that, you know, that you were good, and I made a just super quick, because I didn't want to be awkward, because you don't know me and I don't know you, but I just want to make sure to go say hi to you, and yeah. So that was our first meeting.
Wow, that's wild. I feel bad. I don't remember that.
No, that's okay. I wouldn't really expect you to.
That's crazy, though. Because that would have been, like, very, very early in my career. Because my first Radway show was probably, like, me being, like, 3 months in.
Yeah, I remember him saying that you were super, super new. And I'm still, because you're what, like, 3 years in now? 3 or 4 years now?
2.
What's that?
2 years, two and a bit.
And yeah, he's pride. He's pretty good, hey?
Yeah, he's okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So what do you guys want to talk about? I'm out of shit. The 30 seconds I did to prepare for this, I've used it all up, including stories about me that have nothing to do with you guys. What do you guys want to talk about?
Oh, man. Well,
I'm sweating my ass off.
Well, we kind of skipped over the shows this month because Jack started talking about his cat or something. Ladder match.
We opened with Sloth. I mean, what do you got against Sloth, huh?
I got nothing against Sloth.
Now, was this named after
here, like a sweet little prince, and you're over there talking shit, Mars?
Oh my god!
Is this cat named after the Goonies, or is this like a Seven Deadly Sins kind of thing?
No, he's part of the faction.
Oh, I see. See, I'm done.
He hasn't made the British Bulldogs entrance to us yet, but we're working towards that.
Yeah, one day.
You talked about how the Saskatchewan venue is, you say it's like made for wrestling. There is one building, one venue that was specifically built for professional wrestling. Do you know what it is? This is my useless trivia question of the day.
Oh, man.
It sounds like something Mars would know.
I do know weird wrestling facts. Is it like in Calgary?
False.
Is that why I really can't? Alberta? No, I don't know what that is.
Not
Festival Hall.
It is not in the United States or Canada.
Oh, jeez.
To my knowledge, it's the only building specifically built for pro wrestling.
Is it in the UK?
No. And feel free to correct me if I'm wrong when you're listening.
The only thing I could think of is like some random, like, I think it's called like the UWN. Like in, like, oh, what country is it? I don't remember what country it's in.
It is Arena Mexico.
Oh, I was God. What? Yeah.
In Mexico, to my knowledge, is the only venue that was specifically built for pro wrestling. That's where CMLL runs. Blah 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 blah.
Okay. Now,
March 29th. Oh, that's one thing I wanted to ask you, Jack Pride. Yes. How do you look back upon your scramble title run and all those scramble? Was it a
touchy subject? Uh oh.
Is it? I'm trying to find. I'm not good at explaining things. Was it a difficult time to like put those matches together and execute month after month? A lot, so many moving parts and stuff. Is it a load off your mind to maybe go back and do some singles matches that are maybe a little bit easier to construct and do, or am I just being an asshole?
Well, you see, that's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here for. When you talk about difficult to put together, that's what I'm here for.
Mars is great for taking ideas and making them fit. So it's good having Mars around building stuff. But honestly,
I'm just being an asshole. I'm kidding.
I really enjoyed the run. I enjoyed kind of being a new title within the company and kind of a generally new concept for a title as far as I knew.
It's pretty unique, yeah.
In a personal sense, it felt nice to have that trust from like Spencer and Michael putting things together. Carrying that thing was, I don't want to say like it wasn't difficult, but it was challenging at times.
Mm-hmm.
It's when putting matches together, it's not just about necessarily getting the right moves in the right places. You've got to manage stories within the match, stories within the company. You got to manage egos, so everyone's not feeling left out, making sure that they feel like they're getting enough out of the match for themselves. There's a lot of working parts in there. There's a lot of trust that has to go out that guys are able to know their spots, be there for their spots. Mm-hmm. It's different, but it's no, like, I don't want to say like putting a singles match together is easier. It's just different. But I will say, after doing basically an entire year of scramble matches, it will be nice to get a bit of a break and just be able to stretch my legs in other styles of matches a little bit more again. On a not storyline driven sense, I am glad TY was the one to follow up. I think he's really deserving, and I think he's going to do some really cool stuff with that. So, yeah, all in all, I thought the run went well. I thought I did well. I thought the fans appreciated the things that we're going with. Like, I thought everything just kind of hit the marks that were supposed to get hit, and it went well. So, feel good about it.
I sat with all of you guys last month when Amir Jordan was there, and I kind of watched you guys put together bits and pieces of the matches, and it's just interesting to get six, you know, different people with different personalities and different styles and different ideas and watch them try to piece together this mosaic that will come together into this beautiful thing. And it's just really cool, I think.
Yeah, it's, I will say, like, it really allowed me to stretch some creative legs that I hadn't stretched before. So I feel like that run, doing scrambles, doing all the stuff that we've just mentioned to make it all the everything come together for the beautiful car crash theater, I think it's going to give me different viewpoints and different areas of perception for putting together like tag matches and singles matches. So,
and selfishly, they're so much fun to call. There's sometimes like a singles match with no story sometimes can be a little bit dry, and I'm reaching for things to fill the time. And I don't mean that disrespectfully, but if there's just two people wrestling and there's no story and there's not a whole lot for me to kind of dig into, it can get a little dry, but there's always something going on those scramble matches. Now, on the 29th, pardon me, what have you guys got going on the 29th? Because quite frankly, right now, I either don't know or don't remember. Do you guys have matches announced that we can talk about, or
not been announced, and I don't know when this goes out, so no for a lot of talk about it.
Oh shoot!
So we'll say as of right now, it is a tag match that Seven is participating in.
Yeah,
Jack and Mars Specialist.
Shit, I wish I knew. I wish I had permission from Spencer. We could break some news.
So I think because it'll be out in the Archer Report. the Seven Report. We can say as much as Seven's viewpoint, what we've got our eyes on that has changed. We've Scramble title is in the rear view and we've got something else on the horizon.
What's it like working with Thaddeus? Because storyline-wise, I hate his guts and he's one of the worst people I've ever met. Behind the scenes, I love the guy. Great, great, great guy. I didn't really know him at all before he came into PWA. And I quickly, like, we kind of became fast friends and I quite enjoy him and his kind of passion. What's it like having him as part of the group and doing things with him?
I'll let you start, Jack. You've known him a bit longer. I'll put my input in.
It's like neither one of you guys want to say something. Fuck that guy. He's the worst.
We hate Thad.
So I've known Thad since before he joined PWA when he was doing the... So I had known Thad prior because the former promoter and I from the Canadian Wrestling Coalition, we kept trying to get Thad to come down. I had been, even before we worked together, I had been... pushing for him to join me, be part of even the original run of Seven. I joined him in RCW, and it's same thing. We talked online a little bit, but when we finally got in person, it was just like we immediately clicked. Like it was just something was there. And quite honestly, the cards didn't line up back then. They didn't quite line up when I was in PWA, and I've been wanting to work with Thad for a while, basically as long as I've known him, I've been wanting to work with him. So to finally get the opportunity to do it is nice. I consider Thad one of my closest friends within wrestling. So it's one of those things. It's always great doing things you love with people that you love and appreciate. So
for sure. Mars?
So I think... And I guess I don't remember these things well, apparently, but I think I met Thad at the Battle of the Dome show, too.
Yeah.
Because okay. That's when he was doing his whole thing with, I believe it was Andy instead of Clark, because Clark couldn't make it.
Correct.
And I really didn't know what to think at the time, because like I was only 6 months in at the time, and I didn't know like the spot for non-wrestlers in indie wrestling, really. So it wasn't really until I started doing the love shows and
we do exist. You know, there are people in indie wrestling who don't wrestle. There's a lot of us actually.
It's crazy.
We're pretty fucking important too.
Yeah. Well, when you have the ones that do put the care in like you, Boris, it really, really glares the companies that don't have wonderful people like you, Boris. Well,
thank you. I do appreciate that.
It's true. You guys do help bring everything together. And my first love show was LPW3. It was me and Sheik Akbar Shabazz against the Voros twins, because that's when they were doing the whole story of Thad trying to just like ruin the Voros twins. So Thad technically managed my first match at LPW. And again, like, he really didn't know much about me besides like what he was told by like Michael or Spencer or whoever. And after that match, he's like, "Damn, you're how many months in?" No, like, "I'm only like, I think at the time I was 7 months in that first LPW match." He's like, "That's crazy." And like, we just like spoke a bunch after that. And then Seven happened and we spoke even more because of Seven. And like, I really like him because he's another creative guy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, me and Jack, we're psychopaths. We're very creative people. We are very passionate about our creativity, and Thad's very similar to that. So that's why it either works well or it doesn't work well half the time, because sometimes we have different creative ideas, but most of the time, like, we're all on the same page. We all want what's best for this story, for this group. And I don't know, me and Thad get along very well these days.
And the videos and stuff that he does, a lot of people don't know, but that it like creating content like that, and I can speak this from experience, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of time. These videos don't just magically appear on your YouTube. There's a lot of time and energy and thought and love that goes into them. So I think people like that deserve a shout out for creating that kind of content.
Oh yeah, he gives us a chance to flesh out our characters, flesh out our stories, and he does that on his own dime, essentially.
I've been a judge. I've been a ghost. I've been all kinds of weird things. But okay, we're gonna go to Jack Pride's song. Jack Pride. Let me look at this thing here. You picked a track called "Destroy the Orcs" by a band called 3 Inches of Blood, and I've heard of them before, and that is a name for a band. That's tremendous. I was pulling this song. Does King Diamond sing on this song? Because that dude's got a high voice.
No, it is not King Diamond. That is their lead singer.
Tell me a bit more about this song and this band.
So 3 Inches of Blood, this is a band that I have loved since since they first came around in the early 2000s. They are out of Vancouver, BC. They're
Canadian.
Reunion.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they were the introduction to this kind of like speed metal genre, but then they also sing about high fantasy stuff, which is why this is the very first song I heard of theirs. And because it's called Destroy the Orcs, when you listen, the whole song is about killing orcs. It's so awesome.
So it's not just a clever name.
Yeah, it's speed metal and high fantasy. And I'm just, I was hooked immediately.
Right on. All right. So this is 3 Inches of Blood, apparently Canadian, which is cool. Destroy the Orcs on the Punk and Podverse podcast. Of Blood on the Punk and Proverbs podcast. That is the pick of Mr. Jack Pride. What are you guys watching wrestling wise these days? Like I talk about this a lot. A lot of the wrestlers and people in wrestling that I know, they either watch a ton of shit like I do, or they don't watch anything. Which category do you guys fall in?
I am on the ton of shit category. Okay. So one thing that I do, and it's gonna break all the kayfabe. Me and Stephen Crow hang out all the time. And we watch wrestling at his house, like basically all the time, like every week, maybe more than once a week. And Jan, his mother, you've probably met Jan.
Oh, many times, yes.
She's wonderful.
Absolutely, yeah.
She always just like walks up to us and is like, why are you guys watching wrestling still? Like, what are you guys doing? It's the same thing. We're like, no, it's just what I... And she's just like, thinks we're psychopaths because all we do is watch wrestling. And even on my free time, I watch a lot of wrestling.
No, I agree. I spent pretty much the entire morning today watching the AEW pay-per-view. But anyway, what's on the television lately when you guys are watching?
If it comes to like current stuff, I actually don't get the AEW channel. So when it comes to that, it's usually just WWE, NXT, and then stuff I can find online, whether it's like the free stuff or... which is on like YouTube or whatever. When it comes to like YouTube and like the network, I usually go for people who are like who are like me in a sense, so I can like learn more off them and like see like, oh, I can do that. Like Brian Danielson / Dan O'Brien, Dynamite Kid, Jericho, like the smaller guys, not necessarily the flippier guys like Rey Mysterio, because I'm not that crazy. I can't control my body that well. But, like more the technicians, the Dean Malenkos, those guys.
Jack, what's on your television these days?
Oh, well, I for some time have been in the I'm not watching category, but that has slowly been reigniting within me. AEW has really been putting out some stuff that I've been enjoying quite a lot, getting me to watch more. Because, like, honestly, I don't know what it is, but I can't with WWE now that there is another option out there. I was never a WWE guy growing up. I was always WCW. Even when TNA first cropped up, I would pick them over WWE. So now that AEW exists and it's like guys like Christian are there and Ospreay just coming in, I just watched the pay-per-view you were talking about, and top to bottom, one of the best pay-per-views I have ever watched.
I don't know about that, but you know.
Oh, man. I was, for somebody who hasn't... somebody who hasn't been watching with any consistency for a while, I was completely hooked through that entire... There was a couple lull matches, but like everyone needs bathroom breaks.
I liked everything, but that scramble match was god-awful. But anyway.
I liked what they were trying to do with it, because originally it wasn't supposed to be a scramble.
It was supposed to be like Meaty Mayhem or some shit like that?
The big Meaty Mayhem match. So it's just like get the biggest guys together and let them beat each other up. But a few guys are hurt and couldn't be in it, so it turned into the scramble. But when they're throwing those clotheslines and the crowd is chanting meat, I was loving it, man. I was so into it. What I
thought was funny about that, because they had that spot where, you know, all the big guys were in the four of them were all doing that, and they were chanting meat. And then, they swapped it out, and then the four smaller guys were in there doing the same thing. And I feel like the crowd were trying to come up with something clever to yell instead of meat. But they couldn't come to a consensus about what it was. And I think if that was like a smaller indie crowd, something someone yelled might have caught on, and they would have, because I like what's a smaller version of meat, like a meatball or something. But I think they were all trying to come up with something funny and interesting, but they couldn't get it done.
That's fair. But that, come on, that Sting retirement match, that was
a lot wonderful. More than I thought it was going to be, man. Jesus,
that was in like, yeah, I had no. I don't know what I thought his final match was going to be, but that wasn't it.
It was not, exactly.
Upset.
Yeah, no, I agree. Because I don't watch like the weekly show. I kind of just follow clips on social media and stuff. So I don't really know too much of the story going in. But that was a thing that happened.
Yeah, that was nice for me. Like I said, I was a WCW guy. So Sting has been part of my staple diet of wrestling since I've started watching. So it's been kind of neat to think of it that way. I've literally watched Sting's entire career. And yeah, watching that retirement match, the match was fun. I was entertained start to finish.
What year were you born?
87.
Okay, well, motherfucker, unless you were watching him when you were one, then you have not watched his entire career.
They still had VHS tapes, Boris.
I'm just busting your balls. I'm busting your balls.
But yeah, like that... That final match was, and I like, the old adage is in wrestling, you go out on your back, you got to do the favors on the way out.
What I was thinking too. And I have a feeling that if, he would have had no problem doing that, but I'm sure the other guys were like, no.
So
plus
press conference, Sting actually said he wanted to lose, but Tony Khan and the Bucks were insistent that he go out properly and on top. And given what WWE did to him, I agree with that decision completely.
That's fair. I was at that WrestleMania, the one WrestleMania he worked, and I was like, I'm confused by all of this. None of this makes any fucking sense. It was cool. It was fun. But I'm
you
like,
saw
why?
The cash in. Damn.
I did. I was there. I saw the cash in. I could tell you a funny story about why I hate Roman Reigns from that show. So WrestleMania 31, the main event was Brock Lesnar against Roman Reigns before the cash-in happened. And this was back when Roman Reigns was doing his entrance from the crowd.
Yes.
And I had sat and sat and sat for the whole show. And right before like the main event, I was like, I really have to go to the bathroom. So the semi-main ended and I bolted up the stairs super fast so I could go to the bathroom and get back to my seat. He was doing his entrance one section over from where I was, and they had everything blocked off so I couldn't get to a bathroom. So I had to go back down to my seat and sit and have to pee for that whole entire match before it was over so I could go pee. So that's why I hate Roman Reigns.
Oh, that's actually hilarious.
No, I lucked
that's
out
a very,
on...
That's a valid reason.
I lucked out on the two WrestleManias I've been to. I went to 31, which was that one, and then I went to 34. And 34 Daniel
Rock
Bryan's...
Rock and roll again.
It was Daniel Bryan's return match. It was Ronda Rousey's first match. So I lucked out in the two that I had a chance to go to.
You Asuka and Charlotte, yeah.
Yes.
34, yeah.
And a really disappointing AJ Styles Shinsuke Nakamura match that I thought was going to be like the greatest thing ever, and it was kind of eh. But speaking of WrestleMania, I've done my usual thing I do every year, and I have booked that week off of work, and I will be watching every single show I can get my hands on. There's a chock-full slate of things going on that week, starting on Monday with all the indies and stuff. So I'm looking forward to that. It's my favorite week of the year.
Oh, it's great. I love it.
I have an open door policy. Anybody who wants to come over and hang out and watch anything, the door is always open. You get me how you get me. If I'm sitting in my underwear eating peanut butter out of the jar with my hands, that's how you get me.
I hope that's the version I get.
Well, we could do that right now if you want. Any other bookings or anything that you guys, or social medias or anything you guys want to plug before we unplug this bad boy?
I got some ones I can't say yet, so I'll just keep it at LPW, Clandestine Wrestling Society, end of every month, Thursday and Friday, last Thursday, Friday, every month. PPW, their next show is April 20th. Don't question the number that sonates to.
I see what you did there.
And then as for myself, at Mars Specialist on Twitter, Instagram, The Short Kings on YouTube.
Well, you guys got your podcast. Talk about that real quick.
Oh, okay. So the podcast actually started because me and Reed go to the same gym. So every once in a while we run into each other at the gym and we would talk and talk and talk and talk. And Reed's poor wife would stand there and listen to us talk. Sometimes for like literally like an hour in the parking lot, we would just talk. And
she's
she would like
too. I like her a lot.
Yeah, we love her. And she would be like, okay, we have to go. And that would happen constantly until one day she told Reed, you guys should just make a podcast. And that's like literally the reason we started. And Reed was one day like, you want to like do this podcast thing? We're like, okay, yeah, sure. Finally, we like got the equipment ready. We got, I think the first one was a Q&A one. So like we sent out like the Q&A questions on all our socials and we did it. And our podcast is more just us BSing. For the most part, just us talking like random bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a blast. I love it so much. It's just another like another creative outlet for me and Reed. Like me and Jack, me and Reed are very creative people. We have the quote unquote canon videos. We're talking about like the LPW shows coming up. We have our random movie things we do for every season, and now we have our podcast.
Right. Jack Pride, upcoming booking, social medias, any other pets being fixed, anything we need to know about?
No, just as far as dates, same as Mars, LPW. I think I'm going to be back on the Clandestine Society shows either this month or next month. And then April 20th for PPW out in Sask. I got a couple other ones that I just, that's fine. And then social media, Twitter, it's Jack Pride, but the I is a 7. On Instagram, it is at
Mind
of Jack
Pride.
Do you get
it?
Yeah, we get it, Mars.
So clever, right? yeah, Instagram is at Mind of Jack Pride. And yeah, that's about it right now.
And let's not forget June 15th, West Edmonton Brawl as well. That's something that's circled on my calendar that I'm super excited about and looking forward to as well. Thank you guys so much for coming and hanging out with me on a Saturday afternoon. Super fun.
Of course. Thank you for having us, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great time, man. Always.
Now, usually I'm the one who picks the closing song, but I have not picked the closing song this week. This week, the closing song has been picked by the mysterious benefactor. I cannot say who the mysterious benefactor is, but he knows who he is. I want to say, no, it is not. I want to say thank you to the mysterious benefactor. I appreciate you very much, and I hope that we get a chance to get together soon. He knows who he is. He knows what this is all about. Hell of a guy. One of my favorite people on the planet. The track is by a band called Probots. The song is called I Am the Warlock. I know nothing about this song other than it features Jack Black, which is all cool with me. Nice. I'm working on a few things for the podcast. I'm trying to get a hold of MRV because I want to talk to him about PWA, and I want to talk to him about that documentary Making Kayfabe as well. So I'm working on that. Spencer wants to come on and talk about some business, so we're going to do that as well. So stay tuned to wherever you find your good podcasts. Thank you guys all for listening, and we will talk to you all very soon. Enjoy the Probots.